Climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the JoLynn Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
Welcome back to the JoLynn Thomas Show on this Make a Difference Monday. I want to remind you that we have a couple of really big contests going on. So if you would like the opportunity to win an Alaskan cruise, just text Alaska to 208-522-5900. One person is going to win that Alaskan cruise. It happens July 13th through the 20th. And then four lucky people are going to score a one-night stay in the Alaska room at Destinations Inn. And the key word for that giveaway is Alaska. So just text me Alaska to 208-522-5900. That will get you in for a chance. California is right now proposing a bill that would limit how fast people can drive. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of questions surrounding this one. Joining me by phone right now is Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso. Jeff, I've got to believe a lot of people are asking tough questions.
They are, but if you look at the numbers, a third of all traffic deaths in California, they are speed related. And so that's prompting one Democratic state senator out of San Francisco to push for speed limiters in vehicles. They're kind of like governors on golf carts or you know, motorbikes, where you can't get above a certain speed threshold that would use GPS and database of roadway speeds to prevent cars of the future from being able to speed over 10 miles per hour above the limit. This proposal would make it so cars starting in 2027 and that were built and sold in California wouldn't be able to speed above 10 miles per hour above the limit. If passed, the state would have to grant exceptions, of course, for drivers and manufacturers who meet certain criteria, essentially like emergency vehicles and things like that. But this technology is already readily available and being rolled out in some parts of Europe as well. And you're right. I mean, despite some limited support from some safety groups, the bill has received no support from any other California lawmaker. And of course, opposition to the bill it was pretty immediate, with car makers, automotive enthusiasts, transportation experts, and others just basically balking at the mandatory speed limiters.
Well, no question. I mean, speed does contribute to accidents, but as you're pointing out, I can see car enthusiasts just having a fit. They do not want to be limited. And then, of course, there is the cost factor. How much is this going to add to the cost of a new vehicle? Do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, it is expensive. It's expensive technology. So what that means is that the price of a vehicle would necessarily go up, because obviously, you know, the automaker wouldn't incur that just to incur it. They would pass it along to drivers. And there are safety questions. What if you're trying to pass a car, a slow car? You know, and you've got this limiter on there that it's not going to, you know, when you're passing a vehicle, you've got to punch it.
Right.
But that would, you know, prevent a vehicle from being able to do that. But here's the thing, JoLynn, I mean, you know, older cars wouldn't have the tech, and people can just cross state lines and buy a vehicle in another state, Nevada, for instance, to get around having these speed limiters. As the bill is written right now, and if this measure is able to get any traction, but it's just like California's rule that's going to outlaw gas combustion engines in terms of buying new cars by 2035. And there are workarounds still on that. And, you know, what's to say people won't just keep their older cars to not have to abide by these mandates?
Exactly. I mean, that is the thing that came to my mind right off the bat. You've got a lot of older vehicles. They're not going to have this technology. And certainly, those people who are deeply opposed to it, you're exactly right. They'll just go buy a vehicle in another state. So I think it would be really hard to enforce this across the board.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, you know, again, it is California, and they're doing things differently, obviously, in California as it pertains to transportation and their vision of the future. We'll see. Again, this thing doesn't have any traction. Nobody's touching it, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Gavin Newsom, the governor of the state, is he speaking out on this, tipping his hand at all?
I haven't seen him bring this up at all, and I haven't seen any questions in regards to it for Gavin Newsom, but you know, he's widely in support of the mandate, the state's EV mandate, that will say that if it's a new car by 2035, it's going to be electric no matter what in the state. You know, and the jury's really still out of whether or not that's even possible. You know, even people in the industry, you know, the chairman of Toyota, for example, has really been kind of slow walking this whole EV process and saying, look, it's not possible to be able to pull this off. And only recently suggesting that only about 30% of the car market is even going to be EV by 2040 because of the infrastructure and other issues facing EVs, and the fact that, you know, at this point Americans just really aren't sold on them, and there's issues with them. So oh, by the way, there was also just a new something I covered on our Fox Wheels segment that we do every week. There was a new study out of it was in Nebraska, I believe. Yeah, it was in the University of Nebraska. It shows that the nation's guardrails are ill-equipped because EVs weigh so much more, thousands of pounds more than your average gas-powered car. And it's the guardrails that we all have in every state, the metal guardrails supported by the wood posts. They put together a track where a Rivian EV pickup and a Tesla Model 3 went through those things, and the pickup truck sliced right through the guardrail. The Tesla Model 3 went right under it. But there's also questions over, you know, the excess weight that these things have in terms of vehicle-to-vehicle crashes. Faster wear on residential streets and driveways to infrastructure like parking garages that are only rated for vehicles between, say, 2,500 pounds, your average type vehicle, pickup truck, small vehicle. But when you start to talk about 5,000-7,000-pound vehicles loaded up in a parking structure, they're not designed for that. And so, you know, this may be another case of they probably didn't think this through before starting to implement these types of mandates.
That is really interesting, and it just kind of goes to show there is a lot more to this than initially meets the eye, and I think you're exactly right. People kind of get excited about something and maybe neglect these other important factors such as the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso. Some interesting things for us to keep our eyes on.
You bet. Thanks, Julian.
All right. And quickly, if you would like to win tickets to see KID News Radio's very own Jimmy Failla on March 1st at the Colonial Theater, just text Jimmy to 208-522-5900.